Hey everyone, welcome to My Two Cents with Tawanda Harris. This is a podcast dedicated to educators, for educators, and by educators. Yes, it's all about encouraging, it's all about sharing strategies, it's all about going on an educational journey with each other. You are not alone, and I hope that when you finish listening to this podcast, you feel like you went on a journey with educators around the world. Thank you for tuning in to My Two Cents. Hey educators, I'm so excited to kick off season two. I had the wonderful opportunity to sit down with Lamar Timmons Long, who is a middle school teacher in New York. Our conversation was so wonderful. It was centered around building community and joy during remote and blended learning. We already acknowledged that this year is a little different. Well, not really a little different, a whole lot different than what we are used to. Some schools are face-to-face, some schools are remote, some schools are blended. But we know at the center of it all, we want to make sure that we are making connections with our students. We want our students to know that they are important in every classroom session and every interaction that we have. So this conversation with Lamar was so timely. Building community. How do you do that when you're still trying to social distance, when you have masks on? This episode, Lamar is going to give us some really good and helpful practical tips and just kind of talk through how he does it in his classroom. He lets us know some of the lessons that he's learned from the last time that we were remote last year, at the end of last year, and how that helped to shape his decisions or how he approached the school year. So sit back and listen to this fun, exciting, and very helpful episode with Lamar. I am super excited. I feel like this is going to be a very fun conversation You're like kicking off this season. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's awesome. I am honored to do so.
That is so great. Well, if you could just start off by just kind of telling everyone what your teacher journey was or is.
It's a both a was and an is. I definitely knew I was going to be a teacher in the fifth grade. I had a lot of teachers of color from K to eight, and they all fly, and they all were dope, and they were fun, and I was like, man, if I can be happy at school in a classroom, maybe I can really do this as a career. And so in eighth grade, I really solidified I was going to be a teacher, and I went to SUNY Buffalo State. I'm a proud Bengal alum. And
ooh, it's cold there.
Ooh, yes, it is. That's why, and when people would be like, it's so cold, I'd be like, this ain't nothing.
Imagine what we feel in Georgia. We have fake cold.
Yeah, y'all, I mean, please, y'all cold is nothing compared to the cold in Buffalo, New York. Oh, gosh. And then, you know, I studied English education as an undergrad. And this is year eight. I waited a few years before I went into the classroom. And then I, you know, stepped in. I was like, all right, let's do this. Student teaching really solidified, like, this is it. Like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I love that job. And so now I'm in year eight, and I'm looking at like what's next, you know, and really trying to, I guess, go against the grain of what the typical teacher's role and position is supposed to look like, how we, you know, we go from like teacher to administrator. And it's like, no, I don't really want to do that, but I really want to work with, we're of course continue to work with my children, my students, and work with teachers, but also do teaching in a different way that's not so traditional. I'm really trying to figure that out. I had an idea today while I was driving home listening to a podcast, and I was like,
I love it.
I wonder if I could get this and this together. I need to brainstorm that. So that's where I am. You know, it's interesting. You know, born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. Born and raised in a project.
I hear it all in your accent.
you know, to be a teacher and now also a professor of education at Pace University, and all the other different hats and roles that I play with different organizations. It's just like, wow, we never know where the journey's gonna take us.
Yeah, and it, you know, it just, it's that reminder that your passion will open doors for you. You know, it's like sometimes we think, oh, we're just going to be a teacher, but you just never know how you can make an impact. And sometimes the impact is made being in the classroom. What you were saying about having dope teachers, having awesome teachers, it makes such a difference. To have great experiences in a certain place. It definitely helps to, I guess, fuel that fire of where you possibly will end up. Yeah. And, you know, you just never know, you know, where someone's inspiration has come from. And so, you know, I always say, you know, with teachers, it's not just that child is in my class for this year. You just don't know what impact you would have on a child. So, you know, thank you for sharing your journey.
I mean, you know, it's interesting because one of my teachers, we still keep in contact to this day. She's actually the principal of the school that I attended. I gave her one for her money, but my attitude was so bad.
I love you the most.
But she really, I remember our first like creative writing assignment, and like she really kind of fostered my love for being a writer and writing and telling stories too. And I would have never seen myself as a, like a storyteller. One of our assignments that we did was we had to create some sense of creative writing piece. And I was obsessed with Mary J. Blige back then. And you know, I mean, obsessed.
I mean, who wasn't?
Right. You know, I was obsessed. And I remember writing my first play, and I'm sure that notebook is in the garbage somewhere.
It would have been priceless.
It was called Mary Becomes a Singer. And so I took her biography of what I knew, and I put it in a stage play format.
Wow.
And I remember going to her and saying, this is what I did. And she was like, no one else did a play. No one else took, you know, did this research and studied this person or this artist and their mannerisms and really put together, you know, their life and on stage. And I was just like, and so she was like, you know, there may be a gift there. So as you said, that one teacher can really change the course of a kid's life. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, just thinking about the experiences that you give to students in the classroom.
Right.
You know, so often, especially in a time such as this, where we're trying so hard to get through curriculum because of this, and you can't even see my air quotes that I'm putting up on this learning loss that is supposedly happening. And you're thinking, the world is still going on. You know, I mean, we definitely learn from the world, and the fact that your teacher allowed you to write about something that really connected with you. Yeah. You see how it helped to fuel the fire to just love writing.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, we don't often do that with our students, to allow them to just experience, you know, the learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something that we have to think about even now, like you said, in this time, right? How are we, I just had this conversation with a colleague the other day. I was just like this is the time to slow down. Like this is the time to slow down, take your time with the text, really dive in deep, really have interesting, uncomfortable, comfortable conversations, foster some critical awareness with students, experience real joy, right? And for me, I will only work with Black and Brown kids. So for me, we get to experience Black and Brown joy, right? And really making that a centerpiece of all the work that I do throughout the course of the year with them. I mean, this is the time to do that, because whenever the world decides to get its life together and Lorena Covina calms down and we will then go back to this state where there's so many deliverables and we're dealing with state assessments again and all this other stuff that makes no sense, that really doesn't determine if kids have learned. And
not
so the time to get creative, to have fun, build joy. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, the topic of this segment is building community. I know that you definitely lit up when it came to this topic, building community and joy during remote and blended learning.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about your classroom. So describe your
classroom. Describe my class. Interesting. I'm in a brand new school. Who starts a new school during a pandemic?
You do, Lamar.
And so, you know, in New York City, we have this model, like most districts, either, you know, students are fully remote or students are blended where they're in the building 2 to 3 times a week. And the other two, they're home doing, what is it, asynchronous work? Yeah, or synchronous. Uh-huh. They're working independently. There we go. And so my classroom, I have a really, really old room. Uh-huh. It's big. I always get big classrooms because I know what to do with space. Mm-hmm. But it's filled with boxes and it's filled with chairs and desks that they put in the back. Yet I come in that space and I'm like, no, we need to beautify this just a little bit. So I create, instead of us sitting in rows 6 feet apart, we literally sit in a circle, with the 6 feet between us. In my class, and we laugh every day. we laugh. Laughter is at the heart of everything.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
We laugh every day. And my kids are, they are me 15 years ago, just living in this current time, you know, living in Brooklyn, New York, traveling the subway to school, dealing with the various issues of what it is to be a Black young man in America, because my school, the school that I teach in, is predominantly young men. And so I really think my classroom is a space for them to be kids. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, yes, learning is happening. Yes, conversation is going on. But it's so important for me that I make sure that they have a space to be kids. And I think about, what does it mean to be a kid? And the thing that comes to mind is all these like things of great, you know, goodness, right? Laughter, joy, fun, excitement, right? And so I do my best to make sure that students have activities that emulate that, that we read text that doesn't come, that characters are showing that how they resisted or how they're liberated or how they experienced Black joy or brown joy, Latinx joy, or Asian joy, like whatever that joy is, right? Like really making sure that's an integral part of who we are and what we do and what we read about.
I mean, I think about, you know, that simple step that you took to arrange your classroom in a way that fostered that type of environment of community and allowed for the joy and the laughter to radiate throughout.
Having rows,
even though they're 6 feet apart, having rows, it's very different than being in a circle and seeing faces. It's the human connection that we all long for. And, you know, as much as we want on a Zoom call, we want everyone to turn on their cameras, but we also know that everyone doesn't feel comfortable turning on their cameras, and we shouldn't make them turn on their cameras. But when I tell you, when they turn on their cameras, I get excited because it's that connection that you have.
Yeah. It's interesting. My Zoom class, I have one class where, they're all remote. And that was the first class that I can say that community was established in, which is crazy, right? You would think it would be the kids that come in the building, but no, it was a Zoom class. I mean, and I would like to think I'm an observant person. And so I noticed haircuts, glasses, if someone comes in the camera, I'm like, who's that, mom, dad? I'm like, hey y'all, what's up? You know, how y'all doing? and to do all of that, with children that I have not met, and the laughter that happens on Zoom, I'm just like, this is such beautiful chaos. And I am so here for the beautiful chaotic moments with my kids, whether it be in Zoom or it be in person or a combination of both.
Were there any, we had the abrupt stop last semester in March. Were there any big takeaways that you had from that semester, and how has that shaped your approach? I know you said you're in a blended model, yeah, remote and face-to-face. Has that kind of shaped your approach to this school year?
It really has. You know, when everything abruptly stopped in March, you know, I really had to think about, we really advocated at my school, at my former school, I should say, which thank God I'm not there anymore. We advocated like, so this is abrupt. This is something that we never planned for as teachers. We didn't take a course in our preparation programs on how to do this.
Yes.
And so like, we have to really be honest in our expectations for the children. And so, you know, do y'all want us to go live instruction? Then what does that look like, you know, in this type of setting? Do y'all want us to have office hours? Okay, cool. So then, you know, we really advocated like, look, since this is so abrupt, then we should not be giving kids work every single day, mm-hmm, right? And they should only be getting 2 assignments a week, and we should be giving grace.
Yeah.
And so that really helped me this school year, coming into a new school.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I gotta get to know these kids, but I also have to remember to give them grace.
Yes, that's good.
I have to give them time, and I have to go, I can take my time. Because there are no big, so as we know so far, no big state mandates coming up. Mm-hmm. So long as I'm able to work with skills and really take time and assess skills and really take time and be with them and bond with them and commune with them and laugh with them and pull rich content that they could see themselves, mm-hmm, or a piece of themselves in their culture, that was the takeaway from March to June.
Well, you know, it's almost disheartening that you have to make that decision based on state mandates or not state mandates. One of the things you said, you know, building relationships. That's the, I can't teach you, mm-hmm, if I don't know you. And, you know, even back to your example about the virtual classroom that you have, that you built community, that is, you know, they are the closest when it comes to getting to know each other, laughing and all of those things. But you took the time to get to know each one of them individually before we started talking about any skills or.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I made that first assignment, and I'll put that in air quotes. It was about them.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, we don't know each other, right? Y'all know each other, but we don't know each other. And so we're going to write about, we're going to think about our own selves and who we, mm-hmm, are, where do we come from, and what do we bring to the table? We did some where I'm from poems. And people may look at that and be like, why would you do that? I was like, because, you know, I love thinking about where I come from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, whether it be the neighborhood I grew up in or my culture. Right. I'm proud. Right. I'm very proud of where I come from. I'm proud that I come from Brownsville, which is the slum of the slums in Brooklyn. But I'm a proud product of that.
Yes.
Where I am. Right. And my kids, I want them to be proud of where they come from as well. Mm-hmm. Even though where we come from can be inundated with trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be inundated with joy as well. Right. Yes. And I want us to be able to understand that life is going to happen regardless. Right. And so is what we have to think about, the good things that really make us who we are,
mm-hmm,
and how do we build on that to become this even greater human being.
Yeah. I mean, going back to the point of building community and joy,
yeah,
you are creating that space, or not necessarily creating it, you are allowing for that to organically happen.
Yeah.
So that when they've had to deal with trauma, or when they deal with trauma, you have allowed them to be in a space to just work with each other through this trauma that, right, they're experiencing. Because you, like you said, life happens. I mean, it just happens. And so how do we deal with it in a healthy way and still learn? You know, I mean, you know, sometimes it's seen as learning outside of, you know, emotions or your social emotional well-being. We have to deal with this in a block of time. We're doing our I've heard this so many times. We have an SEL block, social emotional learning block.
What do you mean?
Like just 15 minutes, and then now we'll go to the academics. And I'm thinking, how do you separate the two? Because if you could tell me how to do that, I'll do that with my life. Right. I can't separate my emotions.
I can't stop what happened before I got to the building, what I experienced. Uh-huh. And I'm going to bring all of that to the classroom, and the teacher that really knows them sees it at the door.
Yeah, I agree.
Before they even cross that threshold, you're like, what happened to my kid? What happened? Mm-hmm. Right? And you know the ones you got to ease into it. You know the ones that you can just come over there and be like, yo, what happened? Talk to me. Uh-huh. You know, you have to say, let's talk after class, okay? Yeah. Right? Take a minute. They know. So my kids that I currently have, any of my students know, I always have snacks and water in the classroom. And so this group, I was pulling a water out of my cabinet, and one of my kids was like, oh, you have another one? I was like, maybe. All right. And then everybody was like, well, you got more? Because we're kind of thirsty, though, right? And you know, again, in my room, whatever is there, you have free reins to utilize, borrow, whatever. And so today, he comes behind me to go into the jar to grab a water. And I looked at him and he was like, is this okay? I said, no, what's our protocol? He was like, whatever's in this space, ours. Exactly. You want a water? Go get a water. That's what it's there for.
That's good.
To see him. At first, I guess, be tense because, you know, some teachers be like, don't come in my area, mm-hmm. right? They could sit at my desk if they want. If I'm not over there, go. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Right? And so this idea of making sure that this room, this space, wherever we are, is built in community and familyhood.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Community and familyhood. That's powerful. So you did, there was a recent tweet about what your student said. I'm going to read it. And I'll try to read it in probably the voice that you meant it. Let's see how well I do. As it read, oh, you got Mr. L? That's my teacher. Nah, English about to be lit. Take care of him. Yo, he's mad cool, but you work because he don't play. And ended it with, the beauty in the chaos. What were your thoughts when you heard that?
Yeah, so that's, you did a pretty good job, Tawanda. I'm very proud of you. Yeah,
snaps.
You did a pretty good job. It's so interesting. I think it's the 6 degrees of separation, how we're all interconnected some way, somehow. And it's amazing how I left a school where I taught that same group for 3 years since they were all freshmen. Mm-hmm. And then I go to a new school, and the student that, how this happened is, you know, kids are kids, so we're on Zoom, and of course I'm showing my face. I'm never gonna have my camera off unless someone came to my desk and I need to, you know, turn it off for whatever reason really quickly. But my camera's always going to be on because I always want you to see me smiling and being in a great moment with you. And so he takes a picture and he's sending it to his friends, oh, we got new teachers at my school. And that's when one of my former babies said, nah, that's Mr. Long. He was like, wait, what? He was like, that's my teacher. He was like, no, nah, y'all about to have a good time. English is about to be lit. He's like, yo, it's about to be lit. Yo, make sure you do your work. He don't play, but y'all about to have a fun time, right? And so to hear that, I was like, you know, we're in this blended learning, still trying to figure it out. What is really going to give students access to quality education throughout this experience, right? Feeling defeated every single day, thinking, have I done enough for my kids, social, emotionally, academically, personally, right? And yet you have a student that remembers our relationship and who we are to each other.
That's powerful.
His friend, like, nah, that's Mr. L. Mm-hmm. But then also says to him, take care of him, right? Uh-huh. Which to me was like, what? Right? Really? Mm-hmm. I'm always like, no, I got to take care of y'all. But for him, it really, I mean, warming my heart is an understatement, right? I just couldn't believe that he had said that to him, like, mm-hmm. take care of him.
You know, it shows that there isn't a sense of, you know, a hierarchy of power in your classroom. Yep. I take care of you, you take care of me, because we are in community together.
But you know what we say in Black culture, I scratch my back, but you scratch my back, I scratch yours, right? Like, you know, in the neighborhoods, you know, the old ladies looked out for the young kids outside, right? Yeah. You know, so this whole, I take what I grew up in, and mm-hmm. I bring that to the classroom, especially growing up Black in New York,
yeah. right?
Knowing what our neighborhoods were like, yet there was so much beauty in the chaotic experience of growing up in Brooklyn, New York, in the hood,
mm-hmm.
right?
It has that flavor of who you are.
Exactly, and so and I think about that student, like who that student is and how he was able to tell me that he was friends with a current student of mine. He literally sent me a text message and said, I love your new glasses, by the way. And I said, okay. So I looked around the room. Okay. And then he said, and that's a really nice sweater. I said, wait, hold up. Did he bug
Like, where are you?
So I'm like, I don't have on glasses or a red sweater. So then he sends the picture. This isn't you? I said, you know what? Then I said, what happened? I said, how? And then he explained. And I was just like, wow.
And the fact that he thought it was important that you knew yeah. that he was still, you know, watching you.
Yes. Right.
And you know, it wasn't just a 1 year thing. You didn't have him just for that year.
Yeah. They surprised me last week. They just rolled up to my school.
Wow.
they just rolled up.
Now, you know, children don't go back just for any teacher now.
I know. I said, what are y'all doing here? Well, we knew you got out at this time, so we wanted to.
You just say, okay.
And, you know, we sat in the park for a little bit and talked and laughed and took pictures and, you know, all that good to be who we are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so we are going to do some rapid fire questions.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so you don't have to spend a whole lot of time. You can really spend as much time as you want, but yeah. This is just for the listeners to get to know a little bit more about you and just, you know, who you are.
Yeah.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
What's your favorite topic to teach about?
Black joy.
Black joy, okay. What teacher left the most memorable impression on you?
Miss Elder. She was, she was fly. Ooh, she was fly. And she teach us under the table. And if I could be like that, I'd be all right. Yeah, her.
I love it. Okay, what was your favorite grade in school?
I would have to say 11.
Okay.
11th grade, junior year was a good year of really coming to terms with identity. Like the beginning of coming to terms with identity.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good year. Yeah.
And that's a good memory. You know, that is important. And you know, think about if we allow our students to experience that coming to terms with just their identity, like who are you?
Who are you?
You know, and that is important for just us to establish, because it does shape our outlook. It shapes our decisions. It shapes our interactions, our self-love. All of those things are shaped in that simple question, who am I?
Who am I?
That's good. All right. So this has just been an absolute joy to talk with you, Lamar. But I want you to leave the listeners with any tips that they can kind of work through to build community and joy during remote and blended learning.
Okay. Oh man. One,
the whole book within itself.
One, get out of your own way. And stop trying to feel like I have to be perfect. Stop trying to feel like it has to work. Right? Be okay with making mistakes and making mistakes in front of your kids or with your kids. Mm-hmm. How are you allowing your kids to, not even allow, that's the wrong word. How are you fostering your students to really do some thinking about themselves and sharing that thinking? How are you sharing yourself?
Mm.
Right? What are you, your kids better than I do. So what are they into? How are you into that as well? And bringing that into the classroom. And how are you laughing with them? Laughter is key.
Yeah.
Like, where do you laugh? If y'all don't laugh at least once a day, something's wrong.
Yes.
Something's wrong. Yeah. Yes.
That's good. I tell you, I laugh with my children all day.
That's right.
Every day. Just, you know, I mean, my husband and I, we have a relationship with our children in which we could just break out and dance in the middle of the living room and keep it moving. And, you know, I would like to say I'm the best singer and the dancer in the household, but maybe in 1980 something, not quite now, but it's okay. Because in my mind, what is it? The self-love. My identity is I can dance and sing all I want to.
Like, I'm, you know, we've been always dancing with the kids and everything, you know, around, having a good time. We play music as the classes is changing. So I'll be out doing the latest dances with the kids and all. We got 30 seconds. We got to go. You know, stuff like that, you know, to really like.
Joy is important. Joy is definitely important. And joy is lasting.
Yes.
So before we go, I want to know, where can folks find you on social media?
Twitter is the best means of finding me and reaching out. And
okay.
Twitter handle is at @teachltl.
Okay.
I don't really Instagram like that. But I don't tweet that often, but I do say things here and there, but I check it all the time. So that's definitely the best way to get in touch with me. And anytime someone sends me a message or a tweet, I do my best. No, I'm pretty good. I reply.
Good. I know. It's kind of like everyone is drowning in emails right now. I keep seeing a lot of posts about how many emails are piling up. And I'm sure if you are active on social media, it is just the same. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you got to take a step back and then go back into it, because it can be very overwhelming.
Yes. Yes.
Well, thank you again so much for sitting down and having this conversation with me. I'm so excited for folks to hear about ways that they can build community and joy, regardless of the learning environment, whether you are fully virtual, whether you are in a blended model, or you are in the traditional face-to-face setting. I think that joy and building community is one of those things that is long lasting, and it never gets old, never, ever, ever. So thank you again. And just to everyone out there listening, happy teaching.
Happy teaching. Thank you for having me.